bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. It is a beautiful day, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Our program today, my friends, we're going to be talking about anger and how to defuse it. This is a very important topic. As you know, the WINGS program has been ongoing for 28 years, and we've been to 8 prisons and many recovery homes. And there are many individuals who are dealing with anger for different reasons. Our job is to defuse it. And so when we talk about, anger, we all can get angry from time to time. And the key is to, realize that we're not born angry. And God didn't make us to become angry. However, there are things that will basically get in the way of our peace and frustrate us. And so, anger starts with a problem basically that has not been solved, and maybe we're living with it for a period of time, and it's not being solved and it's ongoing, and so we get frustrated, and the frustration then turns into anger. And the anger can be, displayed with a variety of different ways, and, from simple examples to the most extreme. And in the WINGS program, we had a gentleman who was a part of our program for almost 3 years, who was convicted of 4 homicides. And he had been in a confrontation with his brother. And the confrontation got out of hand, and his brother actually, stabbed him, and then he left, and he came back and killed his brother with a weapon. And then for the next couple days, actually carjacked several individuals and took their lives, 3 individual women. So in 4 days, 4 women, 3 women and his brother were killed. And, I'll just tell you that if we don't work on defusing anger, it can go from, bad to worse very swiftly. So it's important that we recognize ourselves and who we are, what our limitations are, and basically how to defuse the anger. And this is important in the 168, because we don't want to live in an angry state. The 168 is the total time available from Monday to Friday and Saturday and Sunday, basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we want to, realize that we all get angry, and even God can get angry. And the Word of God says, that divine anger only lasts but a moment, but divine favor will last a lifetime. And so, as God is our role model for everything, we can see that even God could get angry, but it only lasts a moment. We don't want to carry that into tomorrow, the next day, next week, or next month, or next year. We want to basically, look at the situation and solve the problem the best we can, and then move forward so that we can get back to the peaceful state that we should be in. But again, divine anger lasts a moment, and divine favor lasts a lifetime. And that's the side of the coin. We really want to be in God's favor for a lifetime. But as human beings, men and women, we know that we will be confronted with various situations when we are driving or at home with our families. There'll be frustrating situations. There'll be disagreements. And we want to take it one step at a time. We want to remember that the greatest, you know, commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if we can love to a higher standard, if we can give out more love, I think we can, you know, really reduce the amount of anger that may be within a person, within a household, by replacing it with great love. And I think that's one of the goals for us in the WINGS program. In dealing with more than 1,800 men in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, there are many examples of, you know, men who have become angry. And it can come up because of a simple disagreement in a cell, you know, or in a classroom, or in a courtroom where someone is given a continuance and they think they're going home and the judge says it's going to be another 6 months. And so, you know, people can get angry very quickly. And the key is to diffuse it and to be patient and to do the best we can to avoid these situations that make us angry. Avoid people who basically frustrate us or make us angry the best we can. And try to become a problem solver. And not live in frustration every day, which is the acronym LIFE, L-I-F-E. Living in frustration every day, but solving problems and moving forward each and every day in a 168 as a problem solver. Just like a captain in an airliner, you know, things are going to come up. Sometimes there'll be flights that are absolutely beautiful, no blemishes, no mechanical problems. And other times there will be days where the weather is poor. There are two-hour delays. There are unhappy passengers. There are mechanical issues that come up, and whatever else that can happen will happen. So I'll just tell you that we have to be prepared to take it in stride, because it's all not going to happen at the same time. But we know that there will be days when we are frustrated and even become angry. And I want to tell you a story about a young man who was currently diagnosed with leukemia, and he is now facing chemotherapy and challenged with the hospitalization for several weeks and a couple months of chemotherapy. And one of the things that he has as another challenge is his faith. He's questioning the existence of God for the first time in his life, and it's been going on for months. And you know, although he comes from a good family and is church-oriented, he is questioning the existence of God. And now he's been diagnosed with leukemia. So we want to pray for this young man. We want to pray that God will bless him with a strong faith and that the Holy Spirit will be enlightened through our Father in heaven within this young man to see the Lord clearly in his mind so that he will not question the existence of God, but he will live today with a firm faith, a firm belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this today through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as we move forward in the show, my friends, one of the great goals for us in the WINGS program and finding God in prison is to make sure that people have a mission in life, something that they're interested in, they're happy about, they're excited about doing. And today we have a lot of people who are in depression because of a lack of interest, a lack of growth. They have stagnation, even regression. But and that can come for anybody. People who are retired many times have nothing going on in the day-to-day of life. But also people who are incarcerated and they're in recovery homes sometimes are also depressed, suffer from a lack of movement, a lack of progress. And for that reason, we need to have a mission in life. And the mission will move us forward. And I just tell you, Mother Teresa comes to mind right now because she started the nonprofit organization, the Missionaries of Charity. So when we have a mission, okay, we have a reason to wake up in the morning, a purpose for living. And, you know, and with that mission, we have to answer the question, why? Why is this important to you? And the greater your reason is as to why this is important, okay, the more success I believe you will have in whatever the mission is. And for a lot of men in the WINGS program who are on parole or probation or incarcerated or in recovery from substance abuse and alcohol, we ask that question, you know, what is your reason for success in reentry? Why do you want to succeed in reentry? And we know for men and women in recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, there's approximately an 83% failure rate nationwide, and that has to change. One of the things that can change that is having a greater, you know, reason why you want to succeed in recovery or reentry after success, successfully coming home from prison and reentering society. This is important. Having a mission is important, but your reason for success in reentry recovery can be linked to the people you love. For many of our men, I want to do it for my children. I want to do it for my wife and family. I want to do it for me for the first time in my life. I've been locked up for 22 years. I want success in reentry. I don't want to return to prison anymore. I want to change my life. For some others, I want to do it for God. I want to put a smile on God's face. I don't want to disappoint him any longer. So how great is your why? How great is the reason why you want to succeed in reentry or recovery? Because if you don't want it, you won't do it. You won't put forth a great effort to make things happen. And in talking with hundreds of inmates who are addicted to crack cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, fentanyl, alcohol, basically, their recovery program was mediocre at best, giving anywhere from 10 to 50% towards the actual program and not seeing it through, not reinforcing it through repetition, the law of exercise, but coming up short again and again and again. As many people go through recovery multiple times, the goal in the WINGS program is to get you through the first time and to see it through and to be a role model after you build stability and credibility, to become a role model to help others to avoid what it is that you've just gone through, especially your children, because whatever your children see you do, they might do it. They're very likely to follow in your footsteps because kids don't listen to their parents. But they do what they do. And very often, you know, they'll pick up both good habits and bad habits. We have a gentleman in the WINGS program who's now close to 60 years old. But when he was 7, he started drinking with his father and his uncles. And they said, it's okay to do it here because it's in the house with us. By 10 years old, he was drinking cases and rolling joints, marijuana cigarettes by 11, and had a lot of addiction in his life because of poor mentorship. So we need to influence our kids in a positive way. And there's no time like the present to make changes, my friends. So, you know, if you've got some bad habits to get rid of, please take stock of yourself. Make a list right now. Take out a pen and paper. Write them down. Things that you'd like to eliminate from your life. And it could be anything from a lack of accountability, a lack of dependability, addiction to alcohol. Your driving habits are erratic. We got to slow down and stay within the speed limit. We have men and women who have served a lot of prison time because of poor driving habits, who have suffered from DUIs to vehicular homicide. And it's important that we look once again at everything that we want to eliminate and make a plan of action for the future, both the immediate and the long-term future. But the immediate is key. In working with an inmate right now at SCI Rockville, we're working on his plan of action for when he comes home, his two-year plan and his five-year plan. But then we took the best of the two-year plan and the five-year plan and put it into his first week and his first month coming home, and developed an action plan for the first 30 days. And that plan is going to be reviewed by the parole board at that facility. And the tighter that plan is, the more accountability within that plan, the better it's going to be received. The more positive things that this gentleman will do within the first 30 days, the more that plan will be received, and he is maybe eligible to come home. Because if the parole board says, "I'm sorry, not today," he may have to wait one more year. And he was turned down last year. And this happens to thousands of men every year because they're not ready to come home. Part of the job of the WINGS program is to prepare men to come home, men and women, to prepare them well for business, family life, community service, hobbies and sports, to help them to re-engage in positive relationships with parents, spouses, siblings, and children, to give them 100% support but with a high level of accountability, to help them to prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually for reentry into society, because things are tough outside. You've got to pay bills, so we have to help men to develop a work ethic. We had a man in the WINGS program that told me, "You know, I'm 42 years old. I got a letter from the Social Security Administration, and they told me that when I retire, I'm going to get $100 a month. He said, "Mr. Montone, I've never worked on the books. I've always worked off the books, doing different things, selling drugs and doing other things. And now, what am I going to do with $100 a month?" He says, "I've got to start working. And I'm 42 years old." And that is what happens, my friends. So we have to help them to develop a strong work ethic, and that is supported with good education in the trades, in plumbing, electrical, HVAC, roofing, CDL license, limousine license, a college degree. Whatever they want to do, it's available. It's an opportunity. It's an option. It's up to them to make a great decision. So if you're out there listening to this program here at 1570 AM WISP, and 1420 AM WCOJ at Holy Spirit Radio, if you like our program, my friends, take action and do something to change your situation. What is the number one change you need to make today? Is it your behavior? Is it your attitude? Are you lazy? Is it laziness? Are you watching TV late at night and getting up late and not working, waiting for a check to come in the mail? If you want to, you know, change your situation, you've got to take action. Because if you stagnate and you don't take action, you could be in the same place this time next year. Exactly. And we have many, many men and women who have been in the same place for years because they're unwilling to make changes. What is the number one change that you need to make, my friends? I want you to think about it, and I want you to pray to God to give you the strength to make the change. You know, there's a great prayer which goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to change the things I can, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are many things in life we cannot change. We have to accept it. But there is change that we can make with courage and perseverance through God's help. And through faith, God will bless us with the courage and perseverance to make those changes and to see a better day. Whatever it is that's plaguing you, whether it be depression, anxiety, fears, addiction, alcoholism, incarceration, you and I need to make a decision today to make a change and to put it all at the foot of the cross in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever that change is, you can do it. But you got to believe in yourself. We've got to go forward each day believing in ourselves. I'm strong. I can do it, and I will do it. In fact, I must do it. There's no way that I'm going to repeat the past. I must do it. My kids deserve it. My family deserves it. I don't want to disappoint my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ anymore. This has been going on for too long. We had a guy in the Wings program who was an alcoholic who got a DUI on a revoked license in the state of New Jersey. And in the court, the judge says 6 months automatically because he's already got a revoked license because of DUIs, and he got another DUI driving with a revoked license. Undisciplined behavior will get you incarcerated. This is important to recognize how to proceed each day. We have kids in high school who have ankle bracelets who are on probation because of undisciplined behavior on Friday nights and Saturday nights during the weekend. And there are more and more every day. In the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, years ago, we had at one facility 60 young guys from age 13 up to 16 who were in there for homicide. And today we see reckless behavior in the streets of Philadelphia, New York, many cities where, you know, people are shooting up the streets. It's important that we, you know, get this corrected. In working at the House of Corrections for many years in Philadelphia, I learned that the House of Corrections is a place where people come to make corrections in their attitudes, in their lives, in different ways, whether it be bad habits that they've had for life, or bad habits they picked up from other people. They've got to make changes. So I ask you the question, what is the number one change, my friends, that you need to make? As you look at your children, what changes do they need to make? What can you do to help them to make the change before something bad happens? Again, I want you to think about your mission. What is your mission in life? You know, are you distracted from the mission? Are you focused on the mission? And I want you to think about that because it's important. And we only get so much time to make these things happen. You know, very often things will occur and then it's too late. Each and every year we see some high school kids who overdose on drugs. Some high school kids who are involved in car accidents that are fatal. And what can we do to avoid these things? What kind of conversation are we having at the dinner table?
if we're having dinner at all. The average father spends 2 hours a day, 2 hours a week with his kids. 2 hours a week is very minimal time. We need to spend more quality time looking at our kids and the kids who are hanging around with our kids. What is their focus? What are their habits? Who are they? Where do they live? What are they doing? Is it positive or negative? In the Wings program, we look at time management as one of the four fundamentals of Wings. Everything in the 168, the total time available in the week, 168 hours of total time, has to be positive. We cannot allow negativity coming into the lives of our children, into our lives. We've got to guard against it the best that we can. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that we're not impacting our kids in a negative way. And my friends, you know, having children is a blessing, but it's also a burden. As kids grow up, they fight for independence. So we've got to give them some independence to make them strong, but we've also got to be interested in what they're doing, where they're going, whose car are they getting into, whose home are they going over for a sleepover, which is a great excuse to go out all night for teenagers sometimes. We're doing a sleepover, but when in fact, when they get there, they're going to be up all night and walking around or driving around the town. So we've got to look at this and be interested in what's happening with our children. But once again, my friends, we've got to have a mission. And we've got to focus on that mission. And we've got to have a reason why we want to succeed in reentry. The reason's got to be important. We've got to have passion for it. And then we will succeed in reentry or recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism. And I just tell you that we need to do better. Now, in the Wings program, we've had close to an 80% success rate. But nationwide, those success rates are minimal. And we've got to do better. So whatever we can do to make an impact in a positive way on our kids to help them to prevent these kinds of tragedies from incarceration to addiction is a beautiful thing. Because if we're not preventing it, we're on the other side where we're responding to tragedies. And these are tough times for parents. So do the best you can, my friends. That's our show for today. My name is Joe Montone, your host. May God bless you, and thank you for listening in at Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless.